that time with him. Yet I think so many people go into their time of prayer with God way too one-dimensionally. It ends up being a monologue. Maybe you can relate. You sit down and you're going to pray, right? So you say, okay, I'm going to pray. And so you start it out and you begin by maybe worshiping God, and then you confess your sin, and then you maybe express gratefulness. But the vast majority of it is making requests, asking God to help yourself or others. And it's like you're just sitting there and it's this monologue, you talking to God. And there's never this time where we sit down and we just listen. Just be quiet. That's hard for us to embrace because we don't like quiet. We are uncomfortable with quiet. Like I said, the video didn't come up. And we just, what do we do? We were down, 20 seconds? We were silent for a while there. We're uncomfortable with that. We go to God, and it's so much a monologue. And if we use marriage for an example, if only one of the two spouses did all the talking and the other one didn't, that's not a very good relationship. And yet God calls us to be in relationship with him, which means that we not only communicate with him, but he communicates with us. It's this beautiful ebb and flow. And prayer is the place where I find that happening most in my life. Because a loving relationship, there's always two-way communication. But here's the problem. So many Christians believe God went dark after Acts. You know what I mean by that? The military guys know what I mean. You go dark. No communication, nothing. Cut off. God went silent after the book of Acts. Nothing. Yet we're in a relationship with him. That doesn't make much sense. It's like God wound up the toy, let it go. All right, hope everything works out. But we're in relationship. God did not go silent at the end of the book of Acts because he's not done using people to accomplish his will on earth. God's not finished with his work on this earth. Hearing God in order to love and serve God is the biblical pattern. We hear God, we understand what he's asking us to do, and we walk in obedience to him. That's the biblical pattern. Take a look at some of the things that are said in Scripture. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. The Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. That's pretty specific. It goes on. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Acts chapter 9, 11 through 12. The Lord said to him, rise up and go to the street called Straight. Rise up and go to 3rd Street South. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. There's going to be a guy in that house. His name is Saul. Okay? For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision, a man named Ananias, that's who he's talking to at this point, come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. I did a quick check. Just all I did was type in, Lord said, in my computer Bible study program. 275 examples came up. 275. So we have a God who speaks to his people. He did it in the Old Testament. He did it in the New Testament. And he does it now. He does it now. The situation is this, though. The Holy Spirit needed to communicate and teach and guide the disciples. and Paul and the early church. Does he still need to guide individuals and churches today? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because he wants to accomplish his will on this earth. So that means this, that God continues to communicate to individuals and churches specifically, what he desires them to do in order to bring him glory. God's still a speaking God. This church, we go on an elder retreat and we desire to get God's direction. If you were here for a while, you know, years ago, God laid it on our hearts at one of the elders retreat that we really need to focus on the bigness of God, God's sovereignty. And so for 2 years, we just, boy, that was the focus. We would preach on it. We would talk about the greatness of God and things like that. And then a couple of years ago, through the elder retreat, we were fasting and praying, and what happened was is there was a sense that God was leading us, or our focus was going to be on small groups. We felt that was God's leading us. What was God doing? He was taking this church and directing it towards his will. Now, I know that makes some of us really uncomfortable when I talk about it in these terms, but that's really what happened. God was directing his church. The problem is this. In order to hear God's direction and will, we got to be silent. We got to listen. And we don't like that. We're too busy. We got to get it done. The whole idea of how much time are you going to spend in prayer? You're going to spend a half hour? 10 minutes? That's crazy. What do you do all that time? You really want to shake someone? I do most of the time. I just listen. You mean you just sit there? No. But I keep my ears open. You see, that's the struggle that we have. In order to hear God, we have to slow down. We have to be silent. We have to have ears to hear. If you go into, I think, 1 Kings, I wrote it down here, 1 Kings 19:13. It was when the prophet was asking God, you know, Lord, give me direction. And he said, you'll hear my voice. And it said then that there was the thunder and there was all that stuff. And then there was the fire and God wasn't in that. And then there was the still, small voice. And that was God. You see, all the clutter had to be pushed aside. There had to be a time where you just go, you know what, I'm going to settle in. I'm going to just listen. Not quiet before God. It's part of our relationship with him. So what happens is, we have a God who in the past spoke to his people to guide and direct them so that his will would be accomplished and his name would be glorified. And he still does that today. Now some of you are freaking out. You're thinking, are you saying we're adding to the canon, Dan? No, I'm not saying we're adding to the canon. The canon is the word of God. So no, we're not talking about adding to it like that. We're talking about, though, God guiding and directing people, and we'll get to that. And the reason I say that is because the Bible is the most certain voice of God. So many times I have people say, I just wish God would give me some direction. I wish God would speak to me. And I say, you got a whole book of God speaking to you. A whole book filled with God speaking to you. The infinite creator of the universe speaks to every one of us. Open the pages of the Bible, because the Bible is the most certain voice of God, and that's why the Word of God needs to be a part of our prayer time. If we're going to have this two-way communication, we need the Word of God desperately as part of our prayer time. Take a look at these verses. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Those are God's words. He has used men, inspired them, and wrote them. Those are the words of the living God. If you have a Bible in your hand, you have God speaking to you. Because it's inspired by God. It's God-breathed. And profitable for teaching or reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Then we have Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. Incredible. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrows. Look at this. This is interesting, especially when we move on in this message, because of the importance of the Word of God. Discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's important to read right there. The Word of God is active. It's alive. It affects us. So when we go into these times of prayer and we desire this two-way communication, then we need to have the Word of God as part of our prayer time. That we would open it up, and whether we start with it or end with it or it's just there, we have the Word of God there as part of our time of fellowship with Jesus. And the reason being is because God primarily reveals his ways and his character through his word. You want to know God, read his word. You'll start getting a picture of God. The Bible is the first and foremost way that God speaks to his people, but it is not the only way. It is not the only way. God communicates through both his written word and his spirit. Let me ask you, does the Holy Spirit indwell every believer? Yes. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer. So it shouldn't surprise us then that when God would want to communicate with us, we would be able to understand that because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He dwells within us. So there's this sense that, okay, God, you're going to communicate through your word, but you're also going to give specific direction to churches. Well, how do you pick that up? Where do you find that? I mean, there's nowhere where I can turn in the Bible and say, okay, Dan, go talk to so-and-so today. Or make this decision or that decision. It's not there. The principles are, but I can't find it. So where do I go? God uses his spirit to lead and guide his people. He directs us. The spirit indwells us in such a manner that we shouldn't be surprised when we have a sense of God's leading and direction. It's not an audible voice. It's not added to canon. But the spirit of God directs his people for his glory and his purposes. Take a look again at God's word. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So if you're a believer, you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. There's going to be the sense in you. You're going to know. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. He's the one who's teaching. Not Dan, not any pastor up front. If you look at the pastor and say, oh, you know, I'm learning so much from him. It's by God's grace. We're just the megahorn, you know? But God is the one who is changing hearts. He's the one who teaches. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He'll bring to your remembrance. You know those times when you're just hanging out and all of a sudden something happens and it's either for you or for someone else and you remember a Bible verse? That's that verse coming to life in your personal life. That the Holy Spirit is bringing back to your remembrance God's word. The living God is communicating with you. Oh, remember that verse, Dan. Boom, and it comes up and you go, oh, yeah. You see, we're striving for something we have, but we're too busy. We get so caught up in everything that we don't realize that this beautiful, wonderful, loving God, our Savior, our friend, wants this communion with us. Throughout the day. And he's pressing in. And we don't even realize it. He's bringing to remembrance things. Look at John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. Holy Spirit, doing this work in us. In verse 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep will hear my voice. They'll know my voice. They'll hear me, and they'll follow. You know, part of it, what people don't realize is if you go back into the culture at that time, shepherds would have like open range. And what happened is at night they would bring their flocks together in certain areas, maybe a cave, and then they would partition it off. And they would all sleep there that night with maybe 3-4 different flocks. And in the morning, what would happen is this. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice. They'd open the door. And basically what would happen is the shepherd would just say, "Come on, boys, it's time to go. Let's go. Come on." And the sheep would recognize the shepherd's voice, and they would leave, the ones that were his sheep. That's the shepherding plan that was back there. And so Jesus is talking about this. He's referencing something that the farmers there would know, would understand. He's saying, hey, they'll know my voice. My sheep, they know my voice. And then finally in Acts chapter 15, 28, "For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements." Division in the church. And they said, listen, here's some of the things we're going to require. But you see how they're saying, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. It's this sensing that the Holy Spirit was guiding and leading them. This is what we felt like. We sensed that this is God's direction. God was leading his people. He was leading his church. Now again, it's not an audible voice. I've never heard the audible voice of God. Never. I can say this though. I feel God and I desire God to communicate with me every day, and he does. He does. Through his word, just fellowship throughout the day, this leading and guiding by the Holy Spirit. It's not an audible sound, but it's a hearing in the Spirit and understanding. Again, if the Spirit of God dwells within us, why should we be surprised by that? We understand what God is saying. And I'm going to keep coming back to this. And whatever is subjective will never contradict the written word of God. That's why we need to know the word of God. Whatever you sense maybe is God, direction in your life, if it's contradicting the word of God, it's not God, period. Doesn't matter how lofty it sounds. So the word of God, Scripture, is always the objective filter for discerning all subjective promptings, sensings, communication. Always the foundation. I had a guy recently, I was in counseling with them, and we were talking, and they had to sign a document in order to say, you know, I need to get this done, so I'll just sign it. I said, but you don't agree with what it says. How can you sign it? Well, I just feel led by God. I said, no, so God's telling you to lie? How did I know to tell him not to sign the document? Because God's word says, don't lie. So I could say, that's not God's will for your life, because he wouldn't tell you to lie. God's word, the objective word of God, is always the screen, the filter through which we put any kind of subjective leading towards that we sense. God does these things. So an example that I would give you of hearing in the Spirit, this inaudible voice of God trying to direct you with your life, in your life, for his glory, is when we begin to understand Scripture. When we start putting it together, a truth that we knew all along, maybe data that we had, all it was data, just information. Suddenly it starts making sense. Take a look at this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him?" Who knows your thoughts? You know them. You know what you're thinking right now. This is a bunch of hoo-ha. I don't know if I can go there. I'm really scared. Yeah, amen. Preach it. Only you know your thoughts. "So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit." So he's saying it's not us, guys. If you're learning something, it's not us. It's God's Spirit opening up his word, giving you understanding. It's another way God is showing, expressing his love to you. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches, who opens up our minds. Look at this. "Interpreting spiritual truths for those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him." This is goofy. "And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." You understanding spiritual truths is God, the living God, communicating to you in your life. You know what? I knew the data of the gospel. I was raised religiously. Okay, so I knew about Jesus. Yeah, okay, yep, born of a virgin, yep. Died on the cross for my sins, yep. Rose 3 days later, got all that, all good information. Never changed my life. Then all of a sudden, God started speaking through his word. This information I had that I had for years and years and years, suddenly the Holy Spirit started opening up my heart. Hey, you know, Dan, this God that you've sinned against is holy. You know what that means? Perfect. He's without sin. And I went, oh, I read the word holy, but I didn't understand what that meant. And, you know, he's holy, but you've sinned, which means you're not holy. And it's like, okay, is this any new information? Why didn't I put it together before? I'm 22 years old. And I'm going, oh, no, not only that, Dan, but God's just. I had heard about a loving God, but this just God? God is just, which means he's got to punish sin. And you're a sinner, so what does that mean? I knew this stuff intellectually, but it's like all of a sudden it was all coming together. What was happening? God was happening. He was extending his love towards me. He was communicating with me. And then all of a sudden, Dan, you're separated from me because of your sin. And there's nothing you can do about it because you have to be perfect. And you're already not perfect, Dan. Because I'm holy, you can't be in my presence. What can I do? And then all of a sudden, the story of Jesus, which I knew before, came alive. But Jesus never sinned, Dan. He was perfect without sin. He met my requirements. Oh, so then when he went and died on the cross, your sins were punished. In other words, God didn't just, oh, you're a believer, Dan, now forget it. I'll just forget your sins. Because he wouldn't be just. You see, I knew data, but I didn't put it all together. Why didn't I? Because God wasn't working in my life at that time. And suddenly he's opening up his word. I'm going, oh, I see now. So Jesus died for my sin because God is just and loving and punished my sin. And so now I meet the requirements of heaven, not because I did it, but because of what Jesus did for me. This all makes sense now. And so, Dan, now you need to receive this gift of salvation. Receive it. You see, that was a living God opening up his word to me, truths that I knew that made no difference in my life, that I couldn't put them all together. God was doing this miracle in me. And I stood in awe of God. So anytime we understand a spiritual truth, it's God opening up our hearts to understand what a God. That he would love us enough that he just didn't wind up the doll and let it go. But instead he wants to have this fellowship with us. He wants to be a part of our life. He wants to lead us and guide us. He wants to be involved. I will never forget the first time I realized that God wasn't just distant, that he wanted to be involved in my life. I was a fairly new believer. I lived out in Bothell, Washington. Right outside of Seattle. And I was a new believer, and I was reading the Word of God, and I read this part. It was in Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And it was the story of Jesus crossing the Sea of Galilee, and the demoniac came to him. Remember that story? And he said, what's your name? He said, Legion, for we are many. And Jesus cast out the demons out of that guy, and they went into the pigs. What did the pigs do? The pigs ran in the water and drowned themselves. Now, I'm from a farming community originally, and I'm going, that don't make any sense because pigs hate the water. Okay? So that doesn't make any sense at all. And I felt this gentle leading saying, and understand, I know nothing spiritually. I'm a new believer. And it was just like this suddenly I could understand. It was a, you know, Dan, when people are influenced demonically, they will do things that don't make any sense, that are harmful to themselves. And you know what? That blew me away. I thought, wow, that's true. I knew enough about this, and God was using that. And he taught me a spiritual truth. Dan, this is what happens. And at that moment, it wasn't that lesson so much for me, but it was the fact that I have a God who loves me, who really does want to be in relationship with me. And he wants to communicate it, because if we're in a relationship, there's got to be given back and forth communication. And he used his word and he taught me through it. You know those times when you read a scripture and you read it and you go, boy, that's just not, I can't relate to that. I don't get that. And then like 2 days later, you're talking to someone, you go, aha, this is the scripture for them. Again, it's our God accomplishing his will through us. Imperfect as we are, as broken as we are, but this loving, living God who is still involved in this earth, who is accomplishing his will for his glory, is using people like you and me. And he's moving us around as he sees wise. And throughout the day, he desires to be in communion with us, to lead and guide us. When I come here in the morning, I say, God, help me to know who you want me to talk to. There's going to be all these people here, and I don't know who you want me to talk to. So I'm asking you to lead me by your Spirit. And he does. I trust him. I trust him. Say hi. Go over and do this. And I just want to be led by the Spirit of God moment by moment. You see, what happened to me all those years ago in Bothell, Washington, it wasn't a coincidence. And it wasn't my intellect or my intuition. It was God. Because he cares and we matter to him. And he wants to use us for his glory. I have often said this. I feel like we're chess pieces on a chess in a chess match that God is moving around as he will. And every day that's true. Call so-and-so and encourage him. Okay. I was driving this last week, just this week, I went to see John Olson. And I was on my way back. I'm driving through, and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, I'm thinking about something else. All of a sudden, you're going to drive right past the road where Nancy's at. Nancy Olson was in the hospital. Go visit her. Okay. I didn't even think of it. It wasn't on my agenda. I went up there, and I was able to encourage her. You know what? I just trust that was God leading me. Why? Because he loves me, and he wants me to be used for his glory. Okay, God. We say that can't happen. I want to tell you another story of a friend of mine. This happened to them about 2 years ago. Again, the idea is that God loves us and has a will for our lives, and he wants to use us to glorify his name. She was just, she went to the store, the grocery store, and she was just praying, and she came out of the grocery store, and she felt strongly impressed. I'm going to use that term, strongly impressed that there was somebody that she needed to tell that Jesus loves them. And she felt like the Lord was going to show her who that was. So she said, okay. She sat in her car for about 20 minutes and she was frustrated. She said, must have been just me. Which it could have been, you know. I mean, I don't always get it right. And so what happened was she was ready to leave and all of a sudden a car pulled up. And she felt like that was the person. She didn't know him. So she walked up to the car and she knocked on the window. Guy rolls down the window. She goes, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, and I just really felt strongly impressed to tell you this, that God loves you. The guy snapped. He broke down and started crying. He said, I got out of prison 2 weeks ago, and my life is just continuing to fall apart. I'm not used to living on the outside, and I don't have any friends. And he said, and I just questioned everything. He reaches over next to him. He unfolds a newspaper, and there's a revolver there. He was going to go into the store and do a robbery so he could get thrown back into jail. I'm grateful that that's not the only story of God leading his people. The guy ended up giving his life to Christ by God's grace and mercy, got plugged into a church, a community of believers, and last I heard he never did go back to jail. Just saying. God desires to lead and guide his people. He loves you. And he desires to be involved in your life. For all those decisions, there's nowhere where you can turn your Bible to find out whether you should marry that person or not. Whether you should buy that house. Whether you should do this or do that. Now, you don't take it to the extreme, but you know what I'm saying, big stuff. You know, why don't we pray? God will give us a leading and a guide. You know, I just have the peace of God. I think we're supposed to. I'm not comfortable with that. Well, my sweetheart says, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. I go, okay. God brought us together as husband and wife. She's my helpmate. She gets alarms going off, and I don't. I'm stepping back and thinking about it again. Why? Because I know God uses my wife as part of Him speaking into my life. So what happened is this. The Holy Spirit is our wonderful counselor, is He not? What do you do when you counsel someone? You know, we've got Adam who's a counselor. You have a base principles that you use, correct? They're base principles. Our base principles are God's word. It's real simple. But you don't give everybody the same counsel, do you? Of course not. But the base principles are always the same. And that's the same thing, how God works in our life, especially when He's the counselor in our lives. I can honestly tell you, if you ever come to counseling with me, what I pray is I say, God, help me to be Spirit-led. Help me to hear You lead me. And so many times when you come into counseling, I'll tell people this. I'll say, I want you to know I'm going to be taking notes. And it doesn't mean that I'm, you know, that you freak out, that I'm going to write something down and you go, oh, what did I do? So as soon as you see me write, I'm just going to tell you right now I take notes. And a lot of times I'm praying while I'm trying to listen. You say, how do you do that? I don't know. God just enables that because He knows I need Him. And so many times I'll sense I'm supposed to ask a certain question. And it just seems like it's out of nowhere. It's amazing. It's just out of nowhere. So I'll write the question down so I don't forget it, because in my old age I'm forgetting a lot. And so I write it down. And I cannot tell you how many times this happens. I will say, can I ask you a question? I don't get spooky. You know, I think sometimes we get spooky. Oh, you know, God said, no. I don't do any of the spooky. I just, you know, I want to be led by the Spirit, and I trust Him. Trust God to do this work. I can't tell you how many times I'll say, can I ask you this question? Sure. I ask them the question, and they start crying. How did you know that? I go, I didn't. I just, you know, I want to be led by God, and I know He loves you. And then all of a sudden, that takes us to a whole different area of counseling. It's amazing how many times that happens. I had one situation where I was talking to someone, and they were sharing something. And I for years, I had felt there was a barrier between me and them. And I had tried to approach it. I said, are we okay? And they kept saying, yeah. And all of a sudden, I'm in this time with them. And all of a sudden, I felt very strongly in my heart that this is the issue, Dan, that has been separating, that you have been trying to address, but they never were open. And so I said, can I ask, yeah, is this what was causing this friction between us? And he just looked at me and said, yeah. How'd you know? Why? Because, you know, God, this is my sister in Christ. What did God want? He wanted us to walk in unity and love. And there was this barrier there. And God, in His kindness and His love, wanted to bring a brother and a sister together. That's why. Because our God is a God who speaks to us. He didn't shut up and silence Himself and go dark after acts. He wants to be involved in our lives. He wants us to move by His Spirit, to walk in His Spirit moment by moment. That's my desire in my life. Every day, God. I don't want to be spooky about it, but I just trust You. I just trust You. He's our counselor, and that's why the more you know the Word, the more you can trust the subjective ways that God desires to reveal His will to you. It comes back to the Word. You got to know the Word. You got to saturate your life with the Word. It's got to be a part of your prayer time. It's who you are. And you know the Word of God, so as these subjective things come to you, you can discern, is this You, God? Is this not You? I'm just trusting You. I'm going to walk in Your Spirit, God. You know, I'm going to just trust You. God is a living, loving, personal Father who desires to communicate with His children. And through a combination of His written Word that is sure, the objective Word, and His Spirit, Jesus leads and guides Christians towards specific ways that He desires to glorify His name. That's our God. I've lived like that since I became a believer. And I just believe it. I trust it. Brothers and sisters, please know this without a doubt. God has a will for you. And His will for you is knowable. It's not a mystery. He's not going to hide it from you. He may only give you a step at a time. But He will show you. He will lead and guide you. But we need to take time to listen. To slow down. Be quiet. And listen. Take a look at God's word. My sheep hear my voice. If you're His sheep, you'll hear His voice. through the Word, through spiritual, through His Spirit prompting you. Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. Wow. We talked a couple weeks ago. Yes, no, wait. Might not be the answer you want, but you call to Him and He will answer. That's what He says in His Word. And will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you continually. Isaiah 30, verse 21, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. That's what I hope for every morning, on Sunday morning in particular, but throughout the week. God, today I want to be led by your Spirit. I trust that you've got this in your hands. I trust that I'm going to be used by you for your glory. And finally, Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let's walk by it. Let's trust God. My challenge for you today is this. Would you spend quality time listening? Listening to God through His written Word and His Spirit. Take your quiet time. Stop all the chaos. Stop all the asking and just rest. And that's really uncomfortable. It's really hard to do. It's a discipline you have to work on. Meditate on His Word. Brothers and sisters, know this, that infinite wisdom is available to you because Jesus loves you. He's your Savior. He's your friend. He's your counselor. He's your helper. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. And also, with all those things, He is also not silent. He wants to have that two-way communication in your life. So let's trust that and believe that and walk in it by God's grace. Let's pray. Lord, You are this wonderful God, and You call us into relationship with You. And I confess in my own life too many times it's just a one-way conversation. Lord, would You help me open up my heart to receive more from You, Lord, that I would dive into Your Word, that You would open it up to me, that I would live moment by moment guided and directed by Your Spirit. Lord, for all of us, would You do this miracle in us? We desperately need You to do that. Thank You, God, for Your incredible love, that You desire it. Thank You for being our great friend. Thank You, God, for not only listening because of who we are in Christ, but also speaking to us because of who You are. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.